Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Leslie Thornton. And Leslie is a weight loss coach, and she's going to talk about a little bit about what she does. So, Leslie, how are you?
I'm doing great, Cynthia. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, tell the people a little bit about what you do and how important it is.
Yeah, thank you for that. So I help people ditch their fat thoughts so that they can lose weight for good. So for as long as I can remember, since I was 8 years old, I was stuck in what I now refer to as food prison, just constantly thinking about food and exercising and dieting and weight loss and feeling guilty when I wasn't going to the gym and, you know, feeling upset when every single night I would go to bed with tomorrow is going to be the day. I'm going to follow my weight loss plan perfectly. And then come noon or, you know, late afternoon, I would sabotage it by eating something that came across my path. And it was, you know, I tried every kind of diet and every kind of, you know, solution to lose weight. And I just kept falling into the same disappointing trap. And I finally got to this place where I said, all right, you know, I throw my hands up, I surrender. I'm either going to be fat and happy forever, or I'm going to learn how to lose this weight for good. I was just so frustrated. Like, how come some people don't have to struggle like this? How come some people can be at peace around food? And how come I can't? That, you know, when I'm at a party, I can't even enjoy anything else going on because I'm constantly thinking about, I want to eat that, I shouldn't eat that, I need to stay away. Mm-hmm. It was almost more safe to stay home than it was to actually, you know, be around the food. So, you know, I guess the universe responded, and once I kind of surrendered and said, I don't know what to do anymore, I give up, I was at the end of my rope with dieting, I was introduced to what the subconscious mind is and the fact that I wasn't the only one who had these crazy thoughts around food, and I didn't need to feel ashamed that my brain was so fixated on this topic, and that this was actually an opportunity for me to delve into deeper healing within myself. And so for the last 5-6 years now, I've been free from food prison. It's a never-ending journey to deal with this kind of food fixation, addiction, whatever you want to call it, but it is an absolutely fulfilling one, and I help people release their addiction to food and to understand more about why it's here, you know, the deeper meaning. You know, it's not just a surface. We all know how to lose weight. You know, everything teaches us about calorie counting and exercise and shouldn't do this and should do that, but it's a lot harder than that, and it's way beyond willpower. It goes into these deep-seated places within ourselves, and, you know, so it's really kind of looking at the holistic idea of weight loss.
Yeah, as I look around, you know, like a lot of other people, I struggle with my weight also. And, you know, going out and maybe to a restaurant or, you know, a party. And if you're trying to eat really healthy fruits and vegetables, and then when you go out any place, there's stuff that you should not be eating, you know, salty stuff and stuff with fat and sugary stuff. And no matter how hard you try and no matter how disciplined you are, it's all around you. And, you know, it's to the point where you say, if I could only remake society for everybody to eat healthy and there's only healthy stuff available. But that's not, you know, something that can be done. So how do you overcome that when you go out and you see all the stuff that you want to eat that you can't?
Yeah. So the thing about our subconscious minds, the subconscious mind is really the part of our brain. First of all, it's super powerful. So 95% of the results that we're getting in life is based on what beliefs are running through our minds, our imaginations, our behaviors, all of these types of things. And it's super, super powerful. And its job, the subconscious mind's job, is to keep us safe. So the thing is, it's developed in the first 0 to 10 years of our life. So if you think about how you think when you're 0 to 10 years old, it's very black and white. And we make these associations very quickly in our brains as we're experiencing the world for the first time. And so, and as that little child, you know, if grandma gives us a cookie when we've been a good little boy or girl, that neural pathway, that association is built in our brain that, you know, I'm loved when I eat a cookie. So it becomes extremely difficult in our adult lives to not still associate that cookie with all of those good feelings. So then we're faced at these buffets that have all of these amazing things, which all of these restaurants and grocery stores and everything, they know that we can't say no to these foods. And that's why it's put in front of us all the time. And it's not really that fair. And so this little child part of us exists that says, I deserve to eat these things. I don't need to deprive myself and make myself feel miserable, you know, by telling myself I can't eat this stuff. But what happens when we accept the fact that that little child part of us is still alive in our brains and needs to be loved and comforted and needs to be healed, it can allow us to approach those situations with a whole different frame of mind and understanding of, I'm not just saying no to torture myself. I'm saying no because I love myself so much and I honor that child part of me that is, you know, sad and afraid. But I'm choosing to love that child part of me the same way that if we had a child around us and the child wanted to eat a never-ending amount of chocolate, we would cut them off. We would say, no, absolutely not. This is bad for you. I will not let you do this. You know, the child might kick and scream, and really in our adult lives, we're kicking and screaming when we're telling ourselves no. But we need to learn that saying no is out of love. And we need to start introducing to the subconscious mind that what becomes available to us when we say no in this loving way is so much better and so much greater and will lead us to so much more peace and happiness than that instant small pleasure of saying yes to that stuff at the table.
I've noticed, you know, over the past, you know, number of years that, you know, the supermarkets and the restaurants and all those places outside the safety of your home offers a lot of stuff that should not be consumed. You know, like I said, the sugars and the fat and the salt. And at the same time, the diet industry has proliferated. And there's all kinds of diets. There's Weight Watchers. There's Nutrisystems. But at the same time, while this proliferation of these diets are occurring, they're not really teaching you you should concentrate on, you know, fruits and vegetables that for whatever reason, you can restrict your calories or you can eat this. But it's a whole redirection of how we eat, and it's going against the culture that has been forming in this society. How do you overcome that?
So the thing about, I think what a great way to overcome all of that stuff is more education. Like you're saying, there's a lack of education. All we're being thrown at is buy this diet, but we're not really educated further. So a huge piece of education that I've received that's helped me so much is that there was a research study done where they got mice highly addicted to cocaine for about a week, I believe. And each day the mice would continue to go back and get high on the cocaine when they were introduced to that substance. And then after about a week, the scientists introduced sugar to the mice. And then they gave the mice two options. They gave the mice the cocaine that they had been addicted to for a week, and then this new introduction of sugar. Which one? And every single time, the mice would go towards that sugar. And
is
that's
that
just showing
right?
That is right. How addicting sugar is to us. And so if you think about heroin and cocaine, these drugs come from a natural plant. And if you were to ingest that natural plant in its natural form as the plant, you would not be able to get addicted. But once human beings enter the picture and we process it and we refine it and we make it into a nice fine white powder, it becomes highly, highly addicting to our brain with sugar, in its natural state, in a sugar cane. You know, if anybody's ever gnawed on a sugar cane piece, it's not really that addicting. It's just kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. But when we, as human beings, come in and we refine it and we make it into a fine white powder, highly, highly, highly addictive substance. And so just having that knowledge of, okay, this is something that's causing this crazy physiological response in my body, and I need to address it. I think from that point, you know, it's the same with any addiction. You know, hi, my name is Leslie. I have a food addiction. You know, like having that admittance to the fact that you have a problem, like, okay, my brain is highly susceptible to food addiction. And, you know, that's hard. That's really hard. But knowing that, okay, now I need to take different measures to navigate my way out of this place of struggle.
Now, when I had made a decision to stop eating sugar, the first couple of days was really brutal. I went to the co-op to see a friend, and there was Italian cookies. This was like Christmas time, and there was a whole big tray of Italian cookies, which I liked. And here I'm struggling not to eat it. I'm having this withdrawal symptom. It was very difficult, and I had smoked for many years, and I quit a while back. So when I quit smoking, I was taking the lozenges. And the lozenges helped me wean myself off of the cigarettes and quit smoking. But when you try to not have sugar, I use the lozenges as a crutch to quit smoking. But when you quit eating sugar, you can't say, oh, I'll just have a little bit, and that will ease my craving. Once you have a little bit, it triggers that whole thing again. And, you know, the thing is, and I had said this before, you know, when people change their eating habits, they say, oh, you know, I've been good for a week, so I'm going to have a cheat day today. And then I'll go back tomorrow. Well, when you're addicted to something, there's not a cheat day. If you're a heroin addict or was a heroin addict and you said, gee, I've been clean for a month, I think you're going to have a cheat day today to shoot up. And, you know, it's like you can't do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why I think that education about that research about the mice is so important, to acknowledge just how addicting sugar is. And it's not just sugar. There might be people listening right now who are saying, you know, sugar isn't my thing, but flour is also that fine white powder. So the breads and the pizza and the crusts and there are people who are highly fixated on that type of food as well. And that falls into the same category. But absolutely, Cynthia, that's exactly right. I totally don't believe in the cheat day thing either, because it does for some people. And there's different levels of susceptibility to food addiction. I've taken a food addiction susceptibility quiz, you know, and I score a 10. and that's the highest you can be of being super prone to food addiction. Luckily, with my, you know, tools that I use a lot of hypnosis in my work, and I use a lot of, you know, ways of looking at and becoming aware of the subconscious and reframing and these types of things. It hasn't been that bad. I've been able to keep it down. But yes, as soon as you introduce those things, things can spiral out of control pretty quickly.
Now, a lot of the stuff today is made with that fructose. So it's a built-in trigger, and you know, it's society has done this to us. Society is not trying to make us. Maybe society is a catch-all phrase. The society is creating this problem. Maybe it's the food industry, whatever. But they're creating the problem, and, you know, people really don't know how to solve that problem, right?
Yes. I'm really glad that you brought that up about the fructose and, you know, all these other sweeteners that are out there that are still, the brain cannot interpret the difference. If it feels the sweetness, it still thinks that it's the sugar. I used to use Isagenics, and I loved it. I loved it so much, the shakes and the bars. And then one day, well, first of all, it's the dairy started not agreeing with my body. I was having some breakouts on my neck, so I started to kind of evaluate, you know, what in this food is not serving me. And that was a blessing in disguise that I had to wean off that, because, you know, now when I've learned all this stuff about sugar and how addicting it is, I realized Isagenics was so sugary. I mean, it was so sweet, and it was just like it was feeding that addiction part of my brain. And, you know, maybe it still works for some people, and that's great, but I choose to not fuel and continue to feed my addiction. I would like to go beyond that addiction. There's an awesome documentary called Fed Up. It's on Netflix, and Katie Couric does it. And she goes into just how the food industry is completely taking advantage of this part of our humanity, of the fact that we are prone to this kind of addiction. If anybody hasn't seen that, I highly recommend watching that. It's very eye-opening as far as, you know, even Michelle Obama, when she first entered into the office with Barack, she had every intention of taking down the food industry and really making things healthy, but they were so powerful and had so much money and all these things that she could make it, then that's, she couldn't help that situation at all. So that's why she had to change her incentive of what she wanted to do while in office to being just move, because exercise was the only thing she could actually accomplish. She could not bust through the food industry's power of feeding us sugar and things that are just causing the breakdown in our society's health.
What kind of pushback was she getting?
I'm not sure if I remember all the fine details of that from the documentary, but yeah, I definitely would encourage you to look at that. Different things, like, you know, they pleased her a little bit, and they started putting on the labels, you know, 25% less sugar. Like, that was pretty much the only progress that she made. But there was different things in their, you know, legal contracts or whatever that they, you know, weren't changing their recipes much at all.
That's interesting. So when somebody comes in to see you and they say, I want to lose weight, what do you tell them?
Usually when people come to me, they're really at the end of their rope with dieting and exercising, and they're just really tired of it, and they just feel super discouraged and like there's nothing that's going to work for me, just done. And so they need a lot of love when they come to me, you know, because they're really disheartened, and they feel like this is, that when they approach me, this is just another stupid attempt of getting me to lose weight, and it's not going to work. And so, you know, for me, the first step is really relaxing and of accepting that this is where I am, and it's okay, and that it's not their fault. This is not your fault that you feel this overwhelmed by food, that you feel this out of control with food. This is something that is way stronger than any type of willpower. And just acknowledging the fact that this is really real. This is a real problem, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, I don't think that enough people talk about how real of a problem it is, because it seems so silly, because it's like, well, we should all know how to lose weight, and many of us do. But why do we keep running into this problem over and over again? So a lot of that is me just accepting and acknowledging and making them feel like they're not insane. That was definitely what made me feel at ease when I first found information about the subconscious mind and about food addiction. And then the next step is really educating them on the subconscious mind and how it works and the power of that and how it's formed and how we can release the old blocks that are preventing them from saying no to foods that they know aren't serving their lives, and have them be able to walk away from those foods with ease, and not have it feel like this horrible struggle and battle in their brain every time they see that food. And then be able to replace those old beliefs that have been so powerful for so long with something super empowering. So telling and teaching your subconscious mind, which we do in a very relaxed meditative state, is when the subconscious mind is most open and most receptive to what's coming in. You know, the fact that, you know, I want to be strong and lean and healthy and free around food. Look at my body. So I talked about how the subconscious mind includes the imagination. So the power of our imagination is huge. You know, if you imagine slicing open a super ripe and delicious lemon, you know, and we imagine taking a huge bite of that lemon and just sucking in all the juice, we have a physiological response. Maybe some of your mouths are just watering of just listening to me talk about that. That's something that we just imagined, and we're actually having a real response to it. So that is the same mechanism that our subconscious mind works, and how we can go in and just introduce by imagining, looking at our body and seeing it exactly the way we want it to look, and seeing ourselves walk away from those foods and releasing the sugar and the flour and the ice cream and the peanut butter and the cookies and the cakes and the everything. You know, it's funny, all my clients, all the foods that they, you know, can have all the problems saying no to, they're all very similar, very similar foods. The Reese's peanut butter cups and the, oh, I could go on for days. So, yeah, that's really where we first begin, and to look at, you know, where did these messages come to us in our childhood, you know, in the first 0 to 10 years in our life, you know, how is food looked at in our family, you know, was the place where we connected to our families around the dinner table. And so are we now associating eating and mealtime with love and connection? So it really looks at all of those types of things. And then we can, from there, once, and all my clients, always after the first session of addressing the subconscious mind and getting into that relaxed mode and imagining these things, feel so free from food. Like, I still get so surprised with how much success people have immediately after that. They have to keep listening to the meditative hypnosis afterwards to ingrain the new neural pathways in their brain. But they feel so much freer. And just by clearing up that mental space where they're not constantly thinking about that, then the real work begins. Then they get to have fun saying, who am I? You know, now that I don't need to think about all this stuff anymore, what do I want to think about? And what do I want to create in my life? And now knowing that I can create anything, now that I understand what the subconscious mind is, I'm really excited about the opportunities that are opening up for me here. I just talked to a client yesterday, and I was like, isn't this work like magic? I was like, do you think anyone in the world is doing work that feels as magical as this? She's like, no, I don't think so. We're just laughing about it because it's just amazingly transformational. And that was, you know, I'm a nurse by trade, and I was working as a nurse for 4 years, and I felt over and over again as I saw these patients suffering from these chronic diseases that were caused by all these addictions that they couldn't help. I said, I can't do this anymore. I know too much about how to help these people before they get into these situations where their lives are in jeopardy and they're suffering in pain and awful situations for me to sit back and to pretend like I can't help. And I had to leave. I was guided to leave, and this is why I do the work that I do. I need people to understand that they have the ability to be free from food prison and the ability to create amazing things in their lives that they deserve.
No matter what you talk about, when you talk about somebody's health, the medical establishment is geared to treat after the fact and not talk about preventative stuff, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, when we all get into some kind of traumatic situation and we need the hospital's expertise, it's an amazing, amazing place. How far we've come is unbelievable, and I have a lot of respect for it, for what it can do when we're in those kinds of needs. But there's a lot of unnecessary sick people, a lot. And all of our money is going towards that tertiary last resort care. And for me, it's no, we need to go and stop this stuff way before it starts.
Now, a lot of the or some of the people that you worked with in the health profession, when you branched out and took a preventative approach to a person, to their well-being, the people that you work with, what was the reaction to what you were doing?
I remember specifically when I first started as a nurse, I was working in the kidney transplant unit, and there was this patient who was severely overweight and obese. And he was so discouraged, and he was so frustrated, and he was really concerned about his life. He had a little boy at home and his wife, and he talked about how he couldn't even go outside and play with his son, and he was so upset. And there was part of me that was, as a new nurse, I didn't know if I could tell him what I knew. But I made a decision. I was working later at night. It was probably 10 at night when I was admitting him into the hospital. And I said, you know, I got to tell you about what I know. And I referred him to the book that I had first read. It was called The Alpha Solution, The Permanent Solution to Weight Loss. And he came back in as a patient in the hospital probably maybe 6 months later. And he was like, I was hoping that I would see you while I was here. You'll never believe it. I've lost 40 pounds because of that book. I, you know, contacted the author, da-da-da-da-da. You know, Leslie, like, you changed my life. I'm off all these blood pressure medications. I'm off all of these things. And that was just like, oh my God, that was such a big deal to me. And I was like, oh my God, this is so needed. I can't believe how many people don't know about this. And I had, you know, gotten my coaching certification and had been practicing on clients, just being a weight loss coach, and not using any of the hypnosis or any of the subconscious mind techniques and tools. Just guiding them through the book. And a lot of people were like me, where they do better when they work with someone one-on-one, when they have someone who's coaching them through something and being that advocate for them. And they said, Leslie, you know, we want you to do it. We want you to do the hypnosis. And so I thought, okay, you know, maybe this is the universe pushing me towards something else. So I ended up getting certifications in neuro-linguistic programming and in Ericksonian hypnosis, something called timeline therapy. I use some of Brandon Bay's works called The Journey, where it's really going through all the different parts of yourself and healing the childhood wounds that could be causing physiological issues today. And my work really just kind of came from there. So now I do what's called the Wickedly Wild Weight Winning Program. And that's an online course that I've run a few times, and it's just astounding. I just feel so grateful that, you know, I've had to go through this struggle, and now that I've figured it out, that I can share it with other people. And my vision is to just have the whole world know that the subconscious mind exists, and that there is a way to end the suffering with food, and to look at it with such a deeper meaning behind it, and heal from the inside out.
Now, you're based primarily in Albany. Can you serve the public outside Albany? In other words, can you do like phone and, you know, help people over the phone or email or, you know, social media, stuff like that?
Absolutely. That was one of the things when I was building my business, is that I needed it to be location independent so that I could help as many people as possible. So, yes, my course is online, and anyone who has a telephone or Skype can log in. I've worked with people in Canada. I have clients as far out as Las Vegas right now.
Okay.
This is an international thing, and absolutely.
How many people are doing what you're doing?
I don't know the answer to that question. I think nobody is doing exactly what I'm doing. I knew that in order for me to be at peace in my life, I needed my life and my work to be one and the same. And so everything that I teach in my courses is everything that I have done for myself that has worked for me. And so as we are all unique individuals, I know that my program is absolutely unique. Of course, some of the things that I use is pulled from lots of different amazing resources. But there's tons of people who do hypnosis for weight loss, especially in the Albany area. There's tons and tons. Where I would say that this is a little bit more unique is that, number one, I completely resonate with my clients. I know what it feels like to be in food prison. I know all the ins and outs of that. And I think the power of having somebody understand exactly where you are and how you feel, and to release that shame, is undeniable. And it's just huge. So there's that. And then, I have my groups in a Facebook group, so that kind of support that everybody can provide to each other in a group versus just going and sitting with somebody and having them just give a generic hypnosis, it can be less powerful. People say, you know, it'll work for a little bit of time and then it'll stop. And it's because, you know, you have to continue doing the work. It's not something that's one and done. Everybody wants a quick fix, but unfortunately, that's just not how it works. This work is deep. It's not for people who aren't willing to really look at things and to really understand themselves and want to take their healing to the deepest level. Emotions come up and very real things come up, but if you're somebody who's willing to look at all of that stuff and know that you're brave enough to bust through it, then I would say that my program is definitely for you. I just love my clients so much. They're like, they fuel my soul, and I just want more people to feel as good as I've taught myself to feel over the years.
That is terrific. So if somebody wants to get in contact with you, what's the best way to do so?
Yeah, so my website is weightlossalbany.com. I also have a free 5-minute relax your way to weight loss meditation. So people can get that by going to Leslie, LESLIEM, as in Marie, Thornton, thornton.com/weightloss. And you can sign up to download that, and also you'll be on my mailing list so that you can stay in touch with me, and I send out a weekly blog, and it's very impersonal and fun. It's usually a video of me just talking about whatever is going on for me at the time and what I think will be valuable. I'm very informal and like to just stay personal with people. And on Facebook, I love connecting with people on Facebook. So you can either search for Weight Loss Albany or for Leslie Thornton. I just love talking to people about this stuff. So if anybody's listening who just is intrigued, please feel free to contact me. I'd love to talk to you.
Do you have a phone number?
Sure. You can call my phone.
Okay.
It's 518-522-7924. And my next weight winning course starts May 25th or 26th, I believe. So we're actively filling that guy up. So if anybody is interested in that, definitely jump on to talk to me sooner than later because it fills up quick.
Leslie, thank you so much. This has been really interesting. You've been listening to Weight Loss Coach Leslie Thornton. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Leslie, thank you so much for taking
thank you,
time
Cynthia.
To be with us. And thank you, everybody,
thank you so
for listening.
Much.
Have a great day.